All right, so go to 1 Peter chapter 5. And I want to introduce this message with a bit of testimony myself. 1 Peter chapter 5. So this is the first Sunday of the new year, and we've just come through a Christmas season, and on Sunday evenings, we finished the series in Philippians, and then we did some Christmas messages. So here we are, new year, Philippians is done, Christmas is past, and I am sitting down on my desk, and I'm wondering, you know, Lord, what's next? And what is it that your people need? What do you want to share with your people? And this is a difficult time for a pastor. Nevertheless, I found myself beginning a study in this passage in 1 Peter chapter 5. And I will tell you the reason why is because as a pastor, I have experienced just a very difficult year for myself, and I feel like I've lost my way in some areas, and I just felt like I needed to be reoriented. And so, you know, what do we do? How do we reorient ourselves, right? Because I was just really all over the place, going through the process of the addition really messed me up. I was just struggling. And no fault of any of you or the contractors. It revealed some weaknesses in my life. And so here I am, and I know I need to preach, and I need to be right with God and right with men. And I'm just all over the place. So I say, God, I need to be reoriented. So what do I need to? I need to find truth in your word that is for pastors, because I need to just be reminded of what my calling is and what I am to be doing. You know, I what is it that I am to be doing here as a minister? And so I put I began to just work through this passage because I know it's here. I've preached on it before, read it many times, but I have found it refreshing to be to my heart, who is in need of some direction, reminders of my calling as a pastor. So you might say, well, pastor, then this should be for like pastors. Well, I thought about that. I thought about, you know, is this something I should preach, or is this just for me? Well, there's only so much time for studying anyway. And I worked on this, and I don't have anything else. But I am, you know, I want you to understand and demonstrate in some ways how you can counsel yourself. How you walk through it. Sherry shared a little bit. You know, you're focusing on the promises of God. You spend time in the Word of God and listen to it and reading it. And this is what I'm doing. I need to do this, right? I have my issues and my problems and difficulties. And so this is me counseling me. So you get to just be a part of that. And I think it will be encouraging to you and definitely application for all of us tonight. So 1 Peter chapter 5, the first four verses especially, follow along with me. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Well, it's interesting, the testimony that was shared tonight about feeding. You know, the trough was full today. It was, feed was good, however you put that, farmer. You know, I am responsible to feed the flock of God, which is among us, among me. So there are several things here that I have learned and am blessed by the reminders, by these reminders. First of all, this passage defines for me my commission. In other words, what am I to be doing? It's good to be reminded of that. I mean, how often, you know, you're at work and it's good when you're reminded, this is what you're supposed to be doing. I am responsible to feed. I am commissioned to make sure the flock of God is well nourished and healthy. The book of 1 Peter in chapter 1, just flip over to chapter 1, and I want you to notice verse 22, because as I'm reading this, I'm saying, okay, I'm supposed to feed the flock of God. Well, what does that mean? Because we certainly, it does not mean that I grill the hot dogs and hamburgers and have it ready for you. It's not even that I set up the gym so we can have regular physical exercise routines and be physically strong and healthy. What does it mean for me to feed the flock of God? What am I to feed them? And you might say, Pastor, these are such obvious, elementary things. Yes, they are, but I needed to be reminded of these things because of my calling and my task. And so just follow with me here. 1 Peter chapter 1, because my question was, well, what brings the nourishment? What is it that nourishes people? I believe the answer is found here, verse 22 of chapter 1. Seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower thereof falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may, what's it say? That you may grow thereby, if so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, you also as living stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. You know, this tells me about what is it that brings about growth. And this is the Word of God. This desiring the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. I mean, we need to understand that this idea of feeding has a purpose. I need to understand this. That there's a reason that the Bible talks and admonishes pastors to feed the flock. It's because they need the nourishment. Why? Because they, all of us, need to grow. We need to be growing. And when I'm not talking just about just growing taller, certainly, and you know that. We're talking about growing what? To be more like Christ. And we'll talk more about that a little bit later. So the nourishment comes from the Word of God. So what is it I'm to feed? When it says feed, I'm commissioned to do that. I am to feed the Word of God. I am to be giving that forth. So I ask the question, how can I be doing this? What does this look like? Preaching faithfully God's word in a manner that respects his authority and focuses upon his message. I worded it that way because I realize that so often the message and even the Lord can be overcome by the messenger. And people will be distracted by the messenger. And so I must realize that it's not me or even a fancy crafting of words that matters, that provides the nourishment, but it is rather the Word of God. I have grown in my confidence of the Word of God, and I trust you are as well. In times of counsel, there are times when I have sat across the desk from people and I have said, we are going to go to this passage, but I don't know why yet. But I just know God wants us to go there. Now you might think this is mysticism or not. It is not. I believe the Spirit of God is very clear in directing and guiding us. And so we go to the Word of God, and it is delightful to watch God's Word enrich a life, illuminate issues and problems, and provide solutions for them. How else can I make sure that the flock is fed well and nourished and healthy? I can enable and encourage faithful men and women to teach the Word of God. I am so often reminded of Ephesians chapter 4, which is so crucial a passage for us as we think of church ministry. Because it tells us in chapter 4, 11, Ephesians 4, 11 and 12, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for what? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So there I'm in there. I'm a pastor and a teacher. And God has placed me in the church to build up and prepare the body of Christ to do the work of the ministry. And so this involves enabling and encouraging you to be a part of the teaching team, whether it's young people or adults. I know not all of you are going to be the teachers, but some of you can. I'm reminded of what Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:2. It says, "The things that you've heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." You see, the ministry did not stop with Paul. The ministry did not stop with Timothy. It's not designed that way. The ministry is designed to be carried on from one faithful generation to the next. But yet we have to do our part. And that is that we are to commit thou to faithful men the things that we have learned. Are you doing that? Are you doing that? You might say, Pastor, I don't have a lot. You know, you have a tremendous amount to share and to teach. And it is exciting to watch you do it. I so enjoy standing back and watching the body of Christ work. Not because I'm lazy, but because it is a delight to my heart to see God bringing about to fruition, I guess would be the way, some of the things that he has taught us in you. How else can I make sure that the flock of God is well nourished and healthy? Well, this was something that challenged my heart. I need to be well nourished and fed. If I'm not taking care of myself, and that includes a lot, then therefore I will be unhealthy, and an unhealthy person will very quickly run out of energy, abilities, content to be able to help others grow. One of the reasons I believe God wants me to share these things with you, because it will help you to know how to pray for your pastors, your pastor. I don't have a perfect devotional life. I struggle like you do to be in the Word. I know its importance, and I try to spend time in the Word of God on a regular basis. But there are times when I haven't. There are times when I'm dry, when I'm empty. Just like you guys. You guys have those times. And so, realizing that I need to be regularly feasting upon God's Word myself. I thought also of this. How else can I make sure the flock of God is well nourished and healthy, is maintaining a godly example in all aspects of my life so that my life is an asset to the ministry and not a hindrance. One of the challenges with this is with my family, being a husband and a dad. And I know that people watch us. You know, it's like you're in a glass bubble, you know, this glass house, and people watch the pastor, and you know, and he's expected, and I understand that to be a good example, and that is true. I agree with that. I understand that, and it's in the text. But it is one of the ways that I need to emphasize in my life that will help keep this flock, help keep you well nourished and healthy, is because my example's an asset and not a hindrance. You pray for my marriage, because my marriage is no different than your marriage, and it has its ups and it has its downs. You pray for my fathering as a dad over these 8 dear children. And you've heard me at times fail. You've heard me. I've had to ask for forgiveness of my own kids in a church service because of things I've said about them. You know, these things are very real. So First Peter, back to First Peter 5, I am understanding my commission is to feed the flock of God. That's helpful to me because it is a laser focus. Because there's a lot of varying different things that could be done, but feeding the flock of God is a must. That's my commission. Let's look at another. This passage I see, it defines my stewardship. Feed the flock of God, it says. It's not my flock. It's God's flock. And I have been called to be a steward, if you will, or the passage even implies this terminology, a under-shepherd. Someone who's taking care of God's sheep. Wow, that's so helpful, isn't it? To realize that this is God's flock. My stewardship is the flock of God. Emphasis upon God. This mirrors what Jesus told Peter in the end of the Gospel of John. You remember that account? John chapter 21. Jesus and Peter are walking along the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus tells Peter three times something very poignant. He says, "Feed my lambs, feed my sheep, feed my sheep." And notice what he says, "my sheep." Jesus takes ownership over you. Amen? We are his sheep. He is our shepherd. I mean, John 10 talks about him being the shepherd, the good shepherd. That's purposeful. This is something God wants us to embrace, our sheephood. Did I make up a word? Jesus claims us as his own. When a pastor realizes that the people to whom he is ministering really belong to God, it goes a long way in keeping him humble. I'm understanding my stewardship, not my authority and power. It's my stewardship. Now, along with being a steward, is you've got to manage and take care of things, and that's in the text, and we'll get to that. But this is coming first. Feed the flock of God. When you look at Paul's letters, and he addresses the letters, he highlights each church as belonging to God, not in himself. And this is Apostle Paul. And Paul seems to be very careful in recognizing that each of these churches really are Christ's. And they are because of Christ. Oh, he loves on them and he claims them as his own, yes, but he makes sure at the very beginning of each of those letters, it's about Christ, not himself. You've heard me talk about this before, but practically, I like to change my... I've been working on changing my vocabulary to help me remember this. Because as a pastor, it is very easy to get in your head that you are somebody. People respect you and look to you and come to you and all of this stuff. And it's very easy to begin to get this in your head. You are somebody important. And I'm not disregarding the fact that God values pastors. Okay? stick with me here. There's a danger there. And so it's valuable to realize stuff like this. Our stewardship, the flock, is God's. And I need to remain in this place of being under Him and ministering to His sheep. And that brings about a great amount of accountability, realizing that what I do, He's watching. And if I am unfaithful or foolish in the care of His sheep, watch out. I am responsible. I am held accountable. I've begun a list, as I've studied this, of responsibilities of a pastor. Listen, one of the responsibilities is my speech. And James tells us, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation." You hear a lot of words from me, at least on Sundays. Now, in our gatherings outside of that, I'm not a big talker. I don't know if you realize that, but I am not a man of many words. And I am exhausted at the end of Sundays because of all the words that come out of this mouth in one big burst. But you know, we're responsible for these words. I'm responsible for protecting, and Hebrews 13:17 is one of the passages that speaks of this. Listen to it. "Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they," speaking of those who have rule over the church, pastors, "for they watch for your souls." That's something I need to do. I am to watch for your souls. "As they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." Now, most of that verse is for you. But I am taking from it that part that says, hey, they must give an account. They must give an account. I must watch over your souls. So what it's not my flock. What it is, it's God's flock. It is important to note that the focus of my shepherding is the people of God. I would say that this emphasizes to me the priority of making sure that those who are clearly professing Christians are fed. The purpose and priority of my shepherding is to see that God's people are well nourished. I found this encouraging because ministry abounds everywhere. Everywhere. And we can exhaust ourselves. And I needed this help because you can get going over here and get going over here, and yet you're missing the main thing. Pastor Josh, feed the people of God. Do that well. Do that with power and purpose. Make sure they're ready to do the work of the ministry. And we looked at that in Ephesians chapter 4. A well-nourished flock will be able and prepared to do the work of the ministry. That's Ephesians 4:12. A well-nourished flock will be maturing to be more and more like Christ. That's what we're all seeking to be, right? To be like Christ. That idea of growth is in that passage of Ephesians chapter 4. I think we should look at it. I'm not going to get the whole way through the passage tonight, and I knew that. But I want to wrap up this point. In Ephesians chapter 4, you notice verses 13. Look at verse 13. "Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God into a perfect man, into the measure, the stature, of the fullness of Christ." This is our goal. We are to be like Christ. Looking at Look at verse 15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. There's that idea of growth. So a well-nourished flock will be able and prepared to do the work of the ministry, will be maturing to be more and more like Christ. Thirdly, will not be swayed by various winds of false doctrine. Verse 14 of Ephesians 4. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. A well-nourished flock is not going to be easily swayed. A well-nourished flock will speak the truth in love. Verse 15, we've already read it, but speaking the truth in love. A well-nourished flock will spur one another on to growth in Christ through love. Verse 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Edifying of itself. Did you catch that? In love. That's a healthy, well-nourished flock. And this is what we are to be. So, counseling a pastor. This passage is helpful because it defines my commission. I am to feed. And the food is the Word of God. The nourishment is His Word. It defines my stewardship. The flock is God's. It's not my flock, it's His. Lord, I thank You for the Word of God. I'm thankful that we can turn to it and find truth that ministers to our hearts. For the power that we know You're speaking truth into us. We can trust it to be right every time. And so, Lord, I'm praying that You would encourage Your church tonight, both in how to pray for their pastor, but Lord, also in the value of the Word of God in their life. To be their counselor, to expose themselves to it so the Spirit of God can remind them of it many, many times. Well, God, it has been good to be together. In Jesus' name, amen.